Let's all say amen.
Amen.
We want to thank the Lord for giving us another opportunity to be assembled this morning to study of the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And I just got a song on my heart. I'm going to sing a verse, and if you are soprano or alto or tenor or bass, if you don't know who you are, just find your place. Yeah, somewhere on there. I just want to just say, you know the song, you pick it up, and it goes something like this. He says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord. One more time. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up every morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for having the job that I have, Lord. And
thank you, Lord,
for keeping me healthy, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I also want to thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
for the physical family you blessed me with, Lord. And
thank you, Lord,
for the spiritual family I have, Lord. And now,
thank you, Lord,
and most of all for Jesus Christ, because I just want to thank you, Lord. Let's all say amen.
Amen.
And we find that in the Bible. Paul, when he wrote to the Thessalonians in his first letter, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul said, in everything, he said, give thanks. He said, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, we got to be a people that we thank the Lord. For those things that he's given us, those things that he's blessed us with physically, we want to say thank you. And those things that are spiritual in nature, our family, Jesus, God, we want to say thank you, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're with us this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, we don't want you to leave that way. Brother Owens, get for me Acts chapter 5 and then I'll get into my lesson. I mean, Acts chapter 2. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 2. Meet me there. Acts chapter 2. Paul says something. This is to those that are visiting with us this morning. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41, the Bible says what?
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized.
Uh-huh.
And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Now the Bible says, and if you're visiting with us this morning, we want you to know up front that when this message is over, I'm going to give you what God has instructed in the Bible for one to become a Christian. And the hope is that you will gladly receive the word and be baptized. And then maybe they had 3,000 on that day. Maybe we have 3 today that will be added to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And then he says in verse 42, Brother Owens,
and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship,
mm-hmm,
and in breaking of bread and in prayers.
And then verse 47,
praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Yeah, so I want to just say to those that are visiting with us this morning, what you are experiencing is New Testament worship. In verse number 42 of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I'm going to preach from the apostles' doctrine this morning. Also, they participated in fellowship. Fellowship is sharing with the Lord what the Lord has blessed you with. Amen? And then he said, in breaking the bread, we took the Lord's Supper on this morning. We don't take it just any Sunday. We take it every Sunday because every week has a first day. Amen? Amen. And then we had the brother come up and pray for us. And then verse 47, Luke finished the writing by saying in that particular chapter that we had to have identified, praising God and having favor with all the people, And the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. So we praise God this morning, thanking God for life being as it is. And what we want to say is that our hope is that this morning you'll be added to the church this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Meet with me the scripture that was read in this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse number 7 was read in your hearing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 7. And we want to preach this morning from the text where Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Let me ask a question this morning. How many of us, as Christians, seem to be facing circumstances where we feel that hope has slipped away? And we have to just live with these situations and the emotional roller coaster that it brings. Yeah. How many of us have situations? Yeah, because when they get bad, they move from situation to situations. Yeah, that's when they're real bad. And these situations, Brother Oates, have gotten to the point that we don't see nothing happening. And so what we learn to do, even as Christians, is simply to live in these situations because we lost hope. Yeah. And when we lose hope, then we experience, as I call it, that emotional roller coaster. Now, sometimes you can get up in the morning, and because you know things are bad, you don't feel good when you get up. Mm. Yeah. Maybe I'm talking to myself this morning. Mm. You get up, and you know what you're facing, and just getting up in the morning, your day starts off bad. Mm. Yeah. And so we are no different than the Christians that lived in Corinth during the times of the Apostle Paul. That's why we have the letter. That's why we have the text. And so this morning, if you are one like me that are going through things, I want you to see in the text where Paul, that the Lord knows what we're going through. But you also got to understand how God has given to us those in our lives to help us. Yeah, I'm going to find us in the text this morning. So, Brother Oates, he's my reader. Those that are visiting with us, we have a reader. And the purpose of reading is so you'll hear from the Word of God what God has said, and I'm not just up here saying something that I want to say. It's my responsibility to explain the text so you can understand what God is saying. That's what preaching is about. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so he said in verse number 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Brother Oates.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Now Paul said to them, and I'm going to get to this at the end. Paul, the word treasure simply is used as a metaphor. And a metaphor, for those that I'm talking to, people that may not see, a metaphor is simply a word that's applied to an object to help you understand what he's saying. That's what a metaphor is. So Paul said, we have this treasure. And a treasure is where you keep stuff, where you store stuff. But the metaphor he was using for treasure was our heart. He said, we have this treasure in our earthen vessel, and your vessel is simply your body. He said, now, I want you to understand that what you have, he said, notice this here. He said that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of who?
Us.
Yeah. So God has given us something that Paul couldn't find. When they translated, they used the word excellency because they couldn't find a word. But the word means exceeding greatness. Yeah. We have something in us that exceeds greatness. And Paul said that this power It ain't about you.
Amen.
It ain't about me.
Amen.
And then he begins to talk about what we going through. Verse number 8, Brother Oates.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Yeah.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Yeah.
Cast down, but not destroyed.
No, no. Watch what Paul says here. He said, we are troubled. The word troubled in the text means something that causes us pain or suffering due to being pressed or pressured. You know, many of us are going through stuff that are troubling us. Yeah. Yeah. Paul said, these things that you are suffering with, and sometimes it can be physical in nature, sometimes it can be spiritual in nature, but what it's doing is pressing you. Yeah. But Paul says, concerning that, he said, and notice he said, it's on every side. When you wake up, it's there. When you go to bed, it's there. When you turn, it's there. When you turn to the other side, it's still there. But Paul said this to those Corinthians. He said, we're troubled, yet not distressed. The word distress means not pressure. So even though you got pressure, Paul said, somebody's treasure that you ain't got no pressure. Yeah. Yeah. You may feel like you got pressure, but Paul said, you ain't pressured. Then he said, we are perplexed, and perplexed means to be without a way, or you don't have no resources. I don't know where help gonna come. I don't have a way. But then Paul said, but not in despair. The word despair means not without a way. So when you think you ain't got no way, or there is no way, don't worry about it. Yeah. Paul said, because you are not without a way. He said you may be persecuted. Persecuted means to be pursued, or you trying to catch something. But Paul said, but not forsaken, meaning that you're chasing something. The word forsaken means not left behind. Yeah, whatever it is you're trying to catch, God said, Paul said through the word of God, you ain't left behind, you're going to catch it. So you may be cast down. You know, some of us sometimes, and that's where the devil gets the best of us, when we don't think we are who we are. Yeah. Sometimes, even as Christians, we forget we are children of God. Amen. And God is our Father. Yeah, I'm not looking at my earthly father and earthly mother. I'm looking at my spiritual father, and my spiritual mother is the church, because that's where I was born.
Amen.
And so I got situations and circumstances that are too much for me. Some of us, I notice, as our seniors get older, health challenges, and sometimes financial challenges begin to press you to the point that you let no, some of us don't have no joy on Sunday morning because of what's going on outside these doors. Yeah. And then, you know, you could be, we're talking about our different ministries now, our seniors. That can be a challenge. Health becomes a challenge. Finances become a challenge. Then when you a middle-aged adult, sometimes you're looking at when you're going to retire. If you're going to retire. Can you retire?
Amen.
Amen, somebody. Yeah, because one day I'm going to be, Brother Book said, I'm going to be in the Sam's category. But what's pressing me is I don't know where I'm going to be when I get there. Yeah. Because I done spent all my money on my children. Yeah, they taking my money. Yeah. But at some point, as a parent, and I'm a ma'am, I got to say no sir and no ma'am. Yeah. Yeah. You got to go out there and get it for your Yeah. Because one day you're going to be retired. And I want to retire with something and somebody. Because Sister Al may say, brother, you got to get up out of here. Yeah. Yeah. You ain't working? Yeah. The Bible says that, 2 Thessalonians. Go ahead and get that, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll know, we need to know this in the Bible. Because I'm going to get to our yams in a minute. Because sometimes they don't want no J-O-B. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians? Mm-hmm. Did I say 2 Thessalonians?
Yes, sir.
Let me get the verse for you so you won't miss it. And this is it. You may need to teach our young people this. Amen? Because, mm-hmm. See, sometimes the parent won't tell them. So sometimes the preacher got to tell them. No, you need to get out and get you a job. You ain't eating no more. Yeah. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 10, what did he say to the Thessalonians?
For even when we were with you.
Now, he said, Paul said, as a preacher, even when we were around you, read.
This we command you.
This is a command, not from me, but from the Lord. Read.
That if any would not work.
That if any would not work.
Neither should he eat.
Neither should he eat. Yeah. For we hear.
That there are some which walk among you disorderly.
Yeah.
Working not at all.
Yeah.
But are busybodies.
All they doing is running, bumping their gums. Yeah. You got young people. Amen. Somebody. Parents, I'm helping y'all now. I'm helping y'all. Y'all need y'all. See, thank you, Brother Stroud. For letting us know. Let them know. No, understand this here. I had to raise mine too. Yeah. My rope go as far as your education goes. Let me say that again. My rope goes as far as your education goes. When your education stopped, my pocketbook got a zipper on it. Yeah. Because you got some kids go get education and want to find themselves for the next 5 years. No, once you finish education, it's time for you to put your feet in the street. Get you a job. Because the Lord said if any would not work. Yeah. Yeah. Parents, you wrong. What you doing, let me just say this here. What you doing now is you enabling your child. Why you say I'm enabling? Because there ain't no way he could eat if he ain't got no money. That's enabling. That's in the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, it's quiet in here now. That's okay. I'm going to stay with the book. Anybody want to pull on it right here in the scripture, read it for yourself, then come and talk to me about it. Yeah. So I'm talking about our yams. Young people, stop living on your parents and living on other people. Go out and get you a job. Yeah. Yeah. And don't be shacking with nobody.
Amen.
Yeah. No, it's convenient. It ain't convenient. It's sinful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because something convenient don't make it right.
Amen.
Yeah. I remember my mother, when I grew up, she raised three of us. And she used to tell us, I can do bad. No. Yeah. See, you got to have an attitude like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I'm doing bad, but I'm doing it by my. Yeah. Because guess what? Let me drop this while I'm crossing this surface. Because if he's staying there and you staying there, y'all ain't just watching Netflix.
Amen.
You ain't spending all your time directing the TV. Yeah. And then what happens is we present problems for ourselves. See, when you don't try to live as a Christian, non-Christianity bring on problems.
That's right.
And then you want other people to fix them.
Amen. That's right.
Let me get in my text. That's our yams. Yams, get out there and, yeah, get your job. Be productive. Don't live off of people.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then for our youngs, Our sister shared some with me and Quincy today. I'm not going to bring it. We'll come back to it. But our young people, our youngs, I'm talking about now. Parents, you got to be careful what you let your children watch. Because children simply want to be what they see. That's what being a child is.
That's true.
Yeah. That's why you see guys come up and they see the daddy on mama, jumping on mama, and then they grow up and they want to put hands on people.
Nah.
Yeah. Why? That's what they
saw. Yeah.
So we got to be careful what we let them see.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Make sure you're putting Christian thing before them. Because guess what? They're going to get the other stuff for free.
Mm.
By themselves from their friends. So you got to instill in them as much as God wants them to have, because they're going to get the other stuff as soon as you let them go to public school. So our young, we all got challenges. Amen?
Amen.
But the word of God is how we get to it. So how does God work this process of when we have situations, circumstances? Do we have a case to study in the Bible? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul tells us the process. And I want us, those that are Christians, I want you to see the process and why what we did this weekend was so important for those that were, as I put in group me, that were able. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse number 3, 2 Corinthians 1 and 3.
Blessed be God,
even
the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
Now, the word blessed means praise be to God. That's what we've done this morning. We sung the song, Thank You, Lord. We praise God. He said, even the Father, he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father of mercies. And the word mercies means God has compassion for the ills and the sickness of others, especially his children. Yeah. So when you're going through stuff and you're a child of God, understand this here. God is looking down with compassion. That's why he said, the Bible said, he's the Father of mercies. Then he said, he's the God of all comfort. And comfort, that word means calling to one side. You got to know when you're going through stuff that God is by your side. Now watch this here. Because in there are three layers of comfort that the Bible shows us, and all of them are not by God. But now Paul said to begin with that God is he's the God of all comfort. But what God does, God uses people to comfort other people. Yeah. Verse 4, Brother Owens.
Who comforted us in all our tribulation.
Read.
That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
Now see this. Paul said God has comforted us. And the word tribulation, that word comes from the same word of trouble. He's saying God has comforted us when we were in these pressure situations. God did it. God saw what I was up under. God saw the Sams and their challenges. God saw the Mams and their challenges. And the young people and how they're being challenged. God saw all that. And what God said now, God comforted us that we might be able to comfort them that which are in any trouble in any other press situation. Watch this. That's why the Sam ought to be sharing with the Mam. The Mams ought to be sharing with the Yams ought to be sharing with the youth. That's how God did it. Yeah. Notice he said, we comfort other people by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are aided. The word comforted here means aided by God. God help us so we can help somebody else. Yeah. What do you mean, Brother Stroud? Well, you have a man, a middle adult, who raised three kids by herself. Then when that yam may run into that situation, she can comfort her because God comfort you. Mm. And so when you talk to her, you cannot tell, girl, it's going to be all right. You just don't know. No, I do know. You don't know how hard it is to raise. I do know. Mm. That's why we are family.
Amen.
Because when a Sam loses a loved one and they're by themselves, and that person who's also lost a loved one, she can now say, child, I know what you're going through. I have been there. And let me just tell you how God comforted me. God, the text is saying, God comforted you so you can comfort another Christian. That's the text. Mm-hmm. We comfort one another. And then he says, verse 5,
for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us,
mm-hmm.
so our consolation also abounded by Christ.
Now, understand this here. See, this is where we're going to get it. You also have to remember, see, sometimes we sing a song about Christ dying on the cross, but what Paul is wanting us to remember, he said, for as the sufferings of Christ, in other words, you got to feel the pain that Jesus felt. Mm. You can't literally feel it, but it stays in your mind. That's what Paul is talking about. I got to remember that Christ had to die for me. I'll pick that up at the end of the text. He says, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. And whether, verse 6.
And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation,
uh-huh.
which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation.
Now, Paul said this. Understand this here. Whether you are suffering, the word afflicted here means to suffer due to, as I said, pressure. So even though you're being afflicted by your circumstances, Paul says this, it is for your, not only for your, to console you, but it's also for your salvation. Sometimes you got to go through some stuff. Mm. And sometimes, I've learned as Christians, sometimes we don't like to go through nothing.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah. But understand this here, you'll never know what a peak is unless you go down in the, Paul says, which is effectual in the enduring, notice he said, of the same suffering which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is, notice he said now, whether we be comforted, it is for your salvation and your consolation. So now, what's the situation, Paul? Look at verse number 8. Watch his situation.
For we would not, uh-huh. brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life.
Now, Paul wanted them to know now, and maybe you hear. Paul says in that verse, and this is the situation. For we would not, brethren, want you to be ignorant of the trouble which Paul said came to us when we was in Asia. He said that we were pressed, and that's why I say the word pressure. He said we was burdened, wore down. In other words, sometimes if you ain't careful, you'll say to yourself, it's too much for me. I can't deal with this no more. And if you're in the world, you don't have the Lord, that's when you start doing things to yourself, against yourself. Because you don't think you can deal with it.
Right.
But as a Christian, we know that, as Paul was saying, there's nothing that we're going through. And that's what the word, he said, the word despair means. He said in the text, he said that we were pressed. Notice he said, out of measure. In other words, I'm going too far. This to stretch me out too much. He said, above my strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. In other words, I want it out. If you're not careful, you can keep coming here on Sunday morning, come here on Wednesday night, and you just living. You know you got to put in 40 every week. And hopefully you ain't drinking a 40. Let me say that. Because sometimes people, you know, we mix it up. Yeah, I'm saying you go work 40. Yeah, can I understand this here? Can I understand this here? Let me just say, when I work with subjugation, most times when people drink, it's to change the way they feel. Yeah, I'm giving that for free. You don't like how you're feeling, so you try to drown how you feel it. But when you and if you sober up, them problems then got worse. And you still got to deal with them. They ain't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when we don't have God, and when we don't have the comfort from God, we begin to think we need artificial things to help us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Paul talked about it. Get to Ephesians 3. Let me show that in the text. All my time is getting out. I'm going to just show you this in the text. Yeah. And Ephesians 5, brother Oles, and verse 17, Bible says what?
Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
See, first of all, Paul said, he wrote the letter, he said, now, don't be unwise, don't be a fool. He said, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not what?
Drunk with wine.
Wherein what?
In its excess.
Wherein is excess, but do what?
But be filled with the Spirit.
See, when you have the Holy Spirit, you don't need wine. You don't need alcohol. Because I got the Holy Spirit to help me with this stuff. That's what Paul said in Romans. He said that the Holy Spirit make intercessions for us. Yeah, when I don't know what to do with this stuff and I think I need a drink, I don't need a drink. I need Jesus.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah. But guess what? If I was out there in the well, when I was out there kicking it, and I had some problems, the brother just passed me something to help me with my
problem.
Yeah, but now you're in Jesus. Mm. And see, that's why he said, don't be unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is, because we got to understand that we have something to help us. Give him a Romans 8:26. I don't like to use text and don't give scripture. Somebody can say, well, sir, where you say that the Bible says that about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, that's what it's for. Romans 8, Brother Oles, and started verse 25. But we hope.
For that we see not,
uh-huh,
then do we with patience wait for it.
Now you got to notice, you got to wait on stuff. Now watch verse 26. What do you say?
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities.
Now, when you got weaknesses, what the Lord says through the text is that the Holy Spirit will help you with your weaknesses. For we know not
what we should pray for as we ought.
Sometimes we don't even pray for the right stuff. Read.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Read.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit.
Because
he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
So what God does through the Holy Spirit, you sitting there praying and you don't know what to ask for. You know, sometimes we ask for foolish stuff. And what the Holy Spirit does, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will make intercession and it will go to God on your behalf. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray for.
Right.
Notice what he said. He make it, talking to he being the Holy Spirit, make it intercession for the saints, and he do it according to the will of
God.
Yeah. So we got to understand, that's why when Peter wrote it, Peter said, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything you need to live as a Christian, God then gave you with it. And part of it has to do with your family. So now, let us look. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm closing. So the situation was, Paul said that, man, we're at a point where we want to give up. You know, life is burdening me down, and now I don't even know if I got a way out. And I want to say to all of us, this is why you need to have and relate to your spiritual family. Man, we had a wonderful time this weekend.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I mean a wonderful time. Sister Moore beat my head in dominoes this weekend. Yeah. I called out. She took my head off. Her and Chad. Amen, somebody. But that was enjoyment. We got to learn and understand this. Let me just say this on record. The word family, that's Ephesians 3:15 if you want to find it. The word family means, by definition, that you have a relationship. Amen.
Amen.
And sometimes we are in a family and we want to be off to ourselves. That ain't family. You ain't family when you don't want to spend time with family. That's what family means. And so I'm saying to all of us, what the Lord is going to show us is how God uses Christians. God don't do everything himself. He has layers of it. 2 Corinthians 7, Brother Oates, verse number 5. Now, we've seen that Paul was in this situation. But notice what God does in 2 Corinthians, did I say chapter 7?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in verse number 5.
For when we came into Macedonia,
uh-huh,
our flesh had no rest.
Yeah.
But we were troubled on every side.
Yeah.
Without were fighting.
Yeah.
Within were fear.
Now, Paul said this. Notice this here. He said, when we came into Macedonia, the word flesh is talking about your physical body. He said, we had no rest. Then, when we talked about the trouble, he said again, the trouble was on every side. He said, without, they were fighting. And fighting, in the context, means when you have violent disagreement between two or more people. You know, we stood out there shooting people. Yeah, fighting and arguing and doing that. He said, outside the church, that's what happens. Mm. Yeah. That's why when you're a Christian, you ain't got no business being out there late at night.
Amen.
For what reason? Yeah. You need to understand that you're a Christian now. You ain't out there when that stuff going on. But now watch how Paul shows them the answer in verse number 6, Brother Oates.
Nevertheless, God, uh-huh, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus.
Mm-hmm.
And not by his coming only,
yeah,
but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more.
Now watch this here. I hope you don't miss this. Paul said that, now, this is the layers. Remember now, God is the one that deals with the precious situations that we go through. That's why he's the God of all comfort. But now, there are layers of comfort. Now, watch the next layer of comfort. He said the second layer is when those Christians who've been through something that another Christian been through, you can console that person. The Bible calls it consolation. You console a person. Why? Because you going through what they going through. But then there's another layer of comfort. Paul said, nevertheless, God, read, verse 5.
For when we were coming to Macedonia.
I mean verse 6. Did I say 5?
Yeah.
Verse 6.
Nevertheless, God,
yeah,
that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus.
Now, that comforting means words of encouragement. See, sometimes, you know, after you're going through stuff, you need somebody just to give you words of encouragement. You need somebody to say, it's going to be all right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And Paul said, notice how God stays where he's at. God, now, I'm not going to comfort him. I'm going to let another Christian comfort him. And Paul said, we was comforted by the coming of Titus. When Titus came, when that, sometimes God will send another Christian to you and they call you and you won't even answer. Yeah. But that's who God uses. When you have another Christian that reaches out to you and say to you, you know, brother, if you got time, I want to share something with you. And what Paul said, nevertheless, God is looking down on all our situations. That's what Paul said. And I'm now cast down. Paul said he comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming only. Watch this here. But by the what?
Consolation.
Yeah, then the word consolation means exhortation or urging. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to say, man, you, and sometimes as a Christian, we'll have pity parties. Yeah. Now, I know that don't happen to you all, but sometimes you got Christians that will just want to pout. And you need somebody to say, man, get up. You need to get up, and you need to go on to the doctor, and because he's going to tell you anyway. Yeah. Well, I don't want to go to the doctor. You need to go to the doctor. Hmm. Yeah. Because, you know, sometimes with brothers don't like to go to the
doctor.
Yeah. And the wife say, wife go every year. Hmm. And we still ain't gone. Yeah. But you ain't going to find out what you need to find out until you
go.
Yeah. Amen. And so sometimes we need somebody just to just encourage us. And Paul said, wherewith?
He was comforted in you,
yeah,
when he told us your earnest desire,
yeah,
your mourning,
yeah,
your fervent mind toward me,
so that I what?
Rejoice the more.
See, after you finish, you know, sometimes you finish talking to some people, I'm talking about Christians, and when they leave, you know, you go see somebody in the hospital, and after you leave, you lifted that person up. Mm. The person rejoiced, you know. You know, sometimes, because some of us don't need to go to the hospital. Because you're going to say, girl, you looking bad. And then you walk out the door and say, well, you want me to be honest? No, I want you to shut up. That's what I want you to do. Yeah. I'm serious. Some of us don't know how to encourage. Barnabas was an encourager. Yeah. But you need somebody to come in there and just no, Paul said, after Titus finished talking, he said, my joy went up a meter. And that's why we need a spiritual family. This weekend lifted my joy.
Amen.
Just being around other spiritual family.
Amen.
Yeah. And I'm saying this to say that, and I can't isolate myself. Yeah. You come to spend time with family. Amen.
Amen.
Why come there and don't spend time with nobody? You could have did that at home.
Right.
You got Netflix and DirecTV, ESPN. But this is my time to spend with my spiritual family.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Also, and I'm closing. Give from Romans 15:4. Yeah. One of the brothers told me this. I told the brother, I said, I ain't going to call his name. I just love him just to death. I said, brothers, I want to thank you all for being timely this morning. And then he said to me, and Brother Stroud, you be timely this morning too. That'll catch up with y'all later on. I'm being timely. Get out in time. Now, what I want to show us is that sometimes God uses other people to comfort you. I want to encourage all of us to understand sometimes comfort can come from just reading the Bible. Mm. Romans 15, Brother Oles, in verse number 4.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime,
yeah,
were written for our learning.
Read.
That we through patience.
That we through what?
Through patience
and
comfort
of
the scriptures
might have
hope.
See, sometimes we going through stuff and sometimes can't nobody find you. So you can go to the Word of God and comfort yourself.
Mm. Amen.
I know how many times I've had situations where I can be sometimes, you know, your spirit is just kind of down. Mm. And you can go and find the Word of God. Mm. You know what I mean? Find a certain text in the Word of God and you begin read. You know, you going through stuff and you go read about Job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why he said things written, aforetime was Old Testament, was written for our
learning.
Yeah, you got to learn from this. That we through, now understand, when you read in the Word of God, two things ought to come from the Scripture. You ought to have patience and
comfort.
And comfort. Yeah. Go. Sometimes just go to the Word of God and find your comfort. Mm-hmm. The Word of God is there to give you comfort. But God also has those in your spiritual family to give you comfort. My time is up. Get from the last verse, 2 Corinthians 4:10, and I'm closing. I'm extending the invitation. 2 Corinthians 4:10, he says, always
bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body.
See now, Paul said this here. That treasure that is in earthen vessels, the treasure is actually in 2 Corinthians 4:6. The treasure there. He said, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our heart. Watch the treasure now. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, what Paul was sharing with them, that each of us, the treasure we have is the gospel. And what Paul said, he said, always I'm bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, know what the Lord Jesus does. That the life also of Jesus might be made known in what?
Our body.
Yeah. So, see, when you walk around and you carry the gospel with you, yeah, and you remember, you know, sometimes we just say that in passing. But what Paul said this here, understand this here. When you carry the gospel around with you in your body, it's going to change your life. You won't do some of the things that you do. He says in the text, he said that we through, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. In other words, you can see Jesus in us. See, when Jesus is in you, you go to the Christian that need help. You talk to the person that need help. You go see about person that need help. Why? Because Jesus is in you. Yeah. And so as I close, Christians need to have the treasure. You only get the treasure when you obey God. Mm. This is a description, when Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:6, of the gospel of Christ that is deposited, notice now, as a treasure in every Christian that obeys it to proclaim it to the lost. So you hear this morning, get from 1 Corinthians 15, I'm closing. 1 Corinthians 15, that gospel message that we carrying around with us. Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. Here's the gospel, three facts. For I delivered unto you, first of all,
I also received.
How that?
Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures.
And that he was buried.
And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
Yeah, now, and I'm closing. You here this morning, you need to understand that God loved you enough that Jesus died for your sins. They then buried him in a tomb. He rose again the third day. In order for you to become a child of God, and you're not a child of God until you do what God has commanded you to do, you got to be obedient to God, as Romans 6. But what you did, Jesus died for your sins, you got to die to sins. You got to be buried in a liquid tomb. The Bible calls it baptism. You have to be baptized. And baptism, you understand that Christ suffered for you on the cross 6 hours. You die, your sins die in that water. Why? Because the blood of Christ by faith is in the water. It cleanses you all your past sins. Then you rise, Paul said in the Roman letter, to a newness of life. You're not a Christian until you obey God. God cannot comfort you until you obey God the way God wants you to. There's someone today that wants to respond to the message. We have this treasure, and now I'm sharing that treasure I have with you that you might see the light may shine in your heart, and that you obey the same and become a Christian. We bid you to come together. We stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you, Brother Hewitt.